One of the things that I did was try to remain pleasant when I would be the only African American in meetings, and the discussions many times had negative comments about minorities and African Americans. But I would bring their attention to it, but I would do it in a pleasant way where they heard me. And many times, once they had said something inappropriate, then they would say, "Oh, I'm sorry, Roz." So it's important to be in the room, but it's important also to have them hear you and not feel that you're being militant or angry or whatever. You're just trying to inform them.
Hi, I'm Tori Reed, the CEO of Victory & Noble, as well as the executive producer for Getting Deals Done. Getting Deals Done is about one of three dynamic intentions. Number one, the success mindset, which is about the visionary doer as well as the dream catcher. Number two, systems, what it takes to get deals done in the world. And number three, power, how big things are done in the world. Getting Deals Done is about impacting humanity one deal at a time. Our shows are produced for the busy executive in under 20 minutes with voiceovers that aim to clarify, inspire, and raise your collective business IQ. We hope the show will leave you supercharged with capital energy, focused with purpose, and ready to do your very best by being your best. Welcome to Getting Deals Done with Patrick Howell, my partner and a tenured financier, as well as someone who knows a thing or two about getting the deal done. Courtesy of our partners at Vivro Water, a sustainable solutions company that mirrors our commitment to clarity, focus, and a better world. Vivro's water solutions for business have already helped divert tens of millions of wasteful plastic bottles from landfills and waterways. Every day, Vivro systems across the globe help forward-thinking companies transform their own on-premise water into a source for pure and reliable filtered hydration. Let Vivro help you and your business leave a legacy of stewardship, health, and wellness that will literally make you feel good inside. Go to vivrowater.com, V-I-V-R-E-A-U, water.com for more information.
What do Denzel Washington's American Gangster and Inside Man, Sylvester Stallone's Rocky 3 and 4, Spike Lee's Mo Better Blues, Jungle Fever, and Do the Right Thing, Barbara Streisand's Yentl, Julia Roberts' Academy Award-winning outing as Erin Brockovich, Steven Spielberg's Academy Award-winning Schindler's List, and Al Pacino's Best Actor, Scent of a Woman, all have in common? They all have publicity gold stitched and sewn into their box office numbers and ticket gross receipts. Roz Stevenson has been the president and CEO of Roz Stevenson Public Relations and has been implementing film strategies, overseeing national press tours and promotional campaigns, and creating box office gold since the 1980s for over 200 films. Today, we're honored to have Roz Stevenson, one of the, what I would like to say, the Gold Bar members of the behind the scenes in Hollywood, one of the world's largest industries, and in fact, the United States of America's largest import and most significant export, which is Hollywood, and projecting that image of entertainment around the world. She worked in that industry for nearly 40 years on over 100 films, most of which were A-type films with A-cast figures in those films, and she's one of the best at what she does in the world. And it's an honor to have her talk about her book, Look at God, My Hollywood Walk of Faith. Roz, welcome to Getting Deals Done. This show is going to be focused on publicity, faith, and success.
Thank you so much for having me, Patrick.
Let's start at the top. Since this show is focused on business and business professionals that are looking to make an impact in that world, and you were that for so many years, what are the essentials of great publicity?
The essentials to great publicity is primarily to have a degree in communications or a degree in journalism. And for the industry, you have to have a love of motion pictures and television, which I had. I was obsessed with the industry since I was very young. And I had the talent of being the person who put together all kinds of events from the time I was in high school. And by the time I got to the publicity department, that was one of the things that it required to be a person who can multitask and make things happen.
You noted at the top that a degree in media communications and journalism was essential. I think you took a great many classes while you were working as a publicist, which was something that you walked into, correct?
Yes. I actually had no idea what a publicist did, and I was in the department as a temp. And I actually looked around and I thought, this is interesting. And I started asking about what they did. And of course, it was the premieres and putting people on television and magazine covers and all of those types of things that let people know that there's a film that you need to go see. Once I had established myself in the department, I asked the president if he would sign for me to go to UCLA to take the PR designation program that they had. The studio would pay for me to go if the person at the head of my department signed. And he said that I was the only person that ever came in with a plan. And if I wanted to do that, he would sign for me to go. And it took me a year to take the 9 courses to get the designation. And after that, it took a few months and I was made an apprentice publicist, then a junior publicist, then a senior publicist. And eventually I had my own business that focused on African-American publicity for films.
Before our current digital ecosystem of YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Snapchat, there have been the architects of the culture designing an appetite for their brands and mass consumption of America's premier art form, the film. We have so much to learn from Roz Stevenson and her book, Look at God, My Hollywood Walk of Faith. Self-education, passion for your subject, event planning, and an immense faith are all essential components of successful publicity and branding. You were a African-American woman in an industry predominantly white for over 40 years. What are some of the secrets that you used to curate your success in that time?
One of the things that I did was try to remain pleasant when I would be the only African-American in meetings, and the discussions many times had negative comments about minorities and African-Americans, but I would bring their attention to it, but I would do it in a pleasant way where they heard me. And many times, once they had said something inappropriate, then they would say, oh, I'm sorry, Roz. So it's important to be in the room, but it's important also to have them hear you and not feel that you're being militant or angry or whatever. You're just trying to inform them. It was also very important for me to be very informed about everything in the African-American community. I knew how many, of course, historically black colleges we had. I knew what were the top cities for African-Americans. I knew the top organizations that were successful and getting people to go to see movies. So you just had to know all of that type of information that they didn't know. And of course you had to know the stars that many times if they weren't real big, like Eddie Murphy, they didn't know them. I remember we did a movie called Life and I needed a person to be the voiceover for the special. And Eddie nor Martin Lawrence were available. Those were the two key stars. But I suggested Bernie Mac. They had no idea who that was at that time. So I just nicely informed them that he was very successful within the African-American community. Our special was for BET, and it would be well appreciated to have him as the person that narrated that special.
Follow-up question. You worked, you said, with a lot of folks that were not of your complexion or your hue, and that you would speak to them in a manner that was kind, that was pleasant, that was informative. Did you find people receptive to kind of changing the way they thought about things when you would communicate with them in that manner?
Yes, I did. And as a matter of fact, once I retired, many times executives would call me to ask my opinion or ask me to be a consultant on a project. So they really trusted me and knew that I would bring to the project what they needed, which was to reach the African-American film goer and get them to the box office.
To hear Roz tell it, her incredible career has been a natural extension of her faith. Matter of fact, It has led to changing the movie-going industry and making it, from behind the scenes, more inclusive and universal. Augmented with her incredible faith, she has changed the system from within. Just as Roz knows her audience, it is wise to know yourself. What do you believe? What is your driving force? How are your values reflected in your post, the people you follow, the people who follow you, your comments, your values? Bottom line focus there. Do you feel that you were effective in changing? And I know this is a little bit of a redundant question, but it's also a little bit more of a macro question. Do you feel that you were effective in changing the way Hollywood views people of African descent? Or do you feel that it was just a very nominal change, kind of one-on-one, kind of around the Roz Stevenson world? Or do you feel it was very effective on a macro scale?
It changes. Once I was not there, for instance, I had a lot of press this past week contact me with regard to the film that came out, Respect. And the African-American press was not really utilized. They assumed that the Black audience is a given when it's a Black project like Respect. And for that particular film, it needed all the help it could get for two reasons. There was the Delta variant out there. The audience was older and more cautious about going out to theaters. They did not have it streaming. There had also been the other TV Aretha story just 6 months ago. So there was no urgency to go out and see that film. So they made a mistake. And within 2 weeks, the movie is now streaming on Apple TV. So they came in number four. You don't want to come in number four when a film opens, because when they talk about it on television, they only talk about the top three films of the weekend. Word of mouth is what takes a movie over the top once you've done everything that you can to bring awareness to it.
Very insightful. Thank you. That brings me to my next question. We're in the age of social media. A lot of the tools that we have available now through Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, Snapchat, if these tools existed in the 80s and the 90s, I imagine they would have sat there and cost tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, for various companies to work with them. We use them for free now. Everybody's basically head of their own studio. What do you believe people do not understand essentially about publicity that they take for granted with these great tools at their disposal?
Well, I remember when social media first started taking hold and there was a lot of resistance. They didn't consider them true journalists, and there were things like MySpace when I was still working, and they tried to keep them out. They didn't want them to be a part of the newspaper, magazine, TV, radio, which was the main ways that people got their information. But as social media started taking over, they had no choice but to honor them. And now blogs and Instagram, Twitter, and all these things have taken off to a way that if I went in there today, I would not even know how to publicize a film. But I know that when you have a screening of a new film prior to the opening, within minutes of that film ending, people can get on social media and your movie can be a flop before it even opens, or it can be a success based on people's feelings about it at an advanced screening. They really take their time doing advanced screenings now for that reason.
You've been in an industry that's saturated with superstars, stars, B-list actors, but people who know how to present themselves in order to create an impression. What makes a star?
Well, a great actor is one of the things that makes it. And then the charisma of that person. Many of your biggest stars don't like to do the publicity aspect of it. The making of the film is what their joy is. And it's really not easy for them to do publicity. I remember Denzel felt that way about doing films. And he would do it, and he would be pleasant once he got there, but it was like pulling teeth to get in. So you take a film like the one that we did, Ray. Jamie Foxx was young at this, at being a film star. He knew he did a great job, and he wanted to be recognized for the work that he did. And he was available to us from the very beginning, any way we wanted him to come and help promote that film. In addition to screening the movies and being the host of Q&As after screenings, he would dance down the aisle at the end of the movie and bring in the audience to know that he was so happy for what he had just done with that film that they witnessed. And it really showed itself at the box office.
Okay. Final question. Do you feel your work has made the world a better place? And, you know, I'm saying that being mindful of even the title of your book, Look at God, My Hollywood Walk of Faith, but that's a very specific blessing to yourself. Do you feel that the work that you've done has actually improved the quality of the world?
I do, especially for African Americans in films. I feel that so many times when I would meet a Black star, for instance, someone like a Chuck Berry, who had been mistreated so many times in his career that he was very leery of people that were not of his color. And when he would see me, it was such a joy, and he would do whatever we needed to have done to promote that movie because he saw a person of color.
Well, I'd like to thank you personally. I mean, somebody that, you know, has grown up in the American system and had my fair share of successes. A lot of the work that you did, whether in films like The Color Purple or even American Gangster later on in life, have been significant in helping me form a consciousness. I have a son who also watches a lot of these films with me and that kind of a thing. And I really think that the work that you've done has helped to improve not only our image around the world, but also how we feel about ourselves. I'd love to just say thank you to you for that. And I was talking to your assistant. And she said, well, it's important for her to get her flowers. And I said, her flowers? I said, she needs to sit there and get some gold bricks for the work that she's done. It's been significant. It's been amazing. And I really have to give a shout out to Neely. I hope I'm pronouncing her name right, but she's an amazing book publicist to work with you. She's been efficient. She's been to the point. But I really want to honor you and say thank you for the work that you've done on our behalf. I know it wasn't easy. I think you've definitely made the world a better place for myself. And I just met you just recently. And I just know of your work and I know of your impact through your work and also for the next generation coming up through the ranks. So thank you very much.
Thank you for having me. And I just want people to know that you can have fulfilling careers in Hollywood behind the scenes.
Very good. In Roz Stevenson's book, Look at God, My Hollywood Walk of Faith, the opening chapter is titled Daddy and His Girls Attend the 1964 Oscars. One of the closing chapters is titled Honoring Ancestors, Gold Rush Pioneers, and subtitled We Are Family. Her family came to Stockton, California during the Gold Rush. This trailblazer emerges from a tradition of making one's own path. She talks about how knowing her family and knowing their rich history gave her a rich appreciation of who she is. Undoubtedly, that has played into her strong sense of self as a member of a group whose collective net income and spending power exceeds $1 trillion annually. Knowing who you are, knowing where you come from, knowing who your ancestors are, having a loving relationship with your family, have all led to a gold standard in publicity and marketing. Quite as it's told, they are the economic foundations upon which legacy and all true wealth and prosperity are built.
This is Alana Coleman, post-production assistant of Getting Deals Done. Too often, stories of resilient African-American men are lost in a false narrative given to them by a people who never truly knew their battles. Like my grandfather, the great Mr. Royal, used to say, live a life you'll be proud to brag to the angels about. Rest in power, Granddad.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of Getting Deals Done. Each show is engineered as meditation on success by the same team that has brought you success meditations on the art of life, as well as being your very best self, with our flagship program, Here's to Life with Tori Reid.
The Hilton Sacramento Art and West in Sacramento, California, is committed to creating a safe and relaxing experience, including delivery of a clean stay from check-in to check-out. Located a couple of exits from downtown Sacramento and California's capital, our hotel provides a world-class stay, amenities, and rooms at the center of the California experience. California is a world-class economy with visionaries, doers, and dream catchers at its heart. Our mission, as with Here's to Life and Getting Deals Done, is the highest possible expression of excellence, business moxie, humanity, and client care. As the world moves at a fast and sometimes hectic pace, we will provide you with a peace of mind. The Hilton Sacramento Art and West is here to make your experience a better one. We look forward to receiving you. I am Ginger Levert, Director of Sales and Marketing at the Hilton Sacramento Art and West. Our focus is on the customer experience and a pristine excellence. When you travel to Sacramento, stay with us and I guarantee your peace of mind.
We look forward to bringing you another dynamic offering globally every 2 weeks. Be sure to join us for our virtual mastermind forum. And remember, prosperity is a state of being, not a ledger line on your bank account.